वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्वा नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। श्रीमद् भागवतम फोर्थ कैंटो 21st चैप्टर इंस्ट्रक्शंस बाय महाराज पृथु टेक्स्ट 39 जात ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेशियल प्रभुपाद द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड हु इज एवरलास्टिंगली इंडिपेंडेंट एंड हु एग्जिस्ट इन एवरीवन्स हार्ट is very pleased with those who follow in his footsteps and engage without reservation in the service of the descendants of Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. For he is always dear to Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, and they are also always very dear to him. Please repeat after the report by Srila Prabhupada. It is said that the Lord is most pleased when he sees one engage in the service of his devotee. He does not need any service from anyone because he is complete. But it is in our own interest to offer all kinds of services to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These services can be offered to the Supreme Person not directly but through the service of Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Srila Narottam Das Thakur sings, छाड़िया वैष्णव सेवा निस्तार पेयेछे केवा, which means that unless one serves the Vaishnavas and Brahmanas, one cannot get liberation from the material clutches. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also says, जस्य प्रसादात् भगवत् प्रसादः, by satisfying the senses of the spiritual master, one can satisfy the senses of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, this behavior is not only mentioned in scriptures, but also followed by acharyas. Prithu Maharaj advised his citizens to follow the exemplary behavior of the Lord himself, and thus engage in the service of Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas means the devotees. The Brahmana is a person who knows the absolute truth, Brahma janati iti brahmana, and Vaishnava means the person who has become engaged in the loving devotional service to Vishnu or Krishna. Actually, to be a Vaishnava, one first has to become a Brahman. That is, Brahma bhuta prasannatma. When one becomes situated in the Brahma-Bhuta platform, in the transcendental platform, transcending the material platform, when one comes to the spiritual platform, then he begins to understand the spiritual nature. He begins to recognize himself as a spirit soul, transcendental to his material body. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, Jai Shri Shri Gaurav Kali Ki Jai. And then he begins to recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the Supreme Worshipable Lord, and he recognizes himself as his humble servant, and he becomes engaged in his service. Brahma bhuta prasannatma na sochati na kankshati. This material nature is the platform of anusochana and akankha. Sochana means anxiety, and kankshati means desire. In the material platform, we are always in anxiety and we are always desiring. We are in anxiety about losing what we have, and we are constantly desiring what we do not have. That is the material nature. But when one becomes situated in the Brahma-Bhuta platform, then he gives up this anusochana and akankha. He gives up desire and anxiety. And sama sarveshu bhuteshu, in that platform, he sees everyone to be equal. Because he sees everybody as a part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, we create the duality because of our selfish motivations. The duality of enemy and friend is caused by our false ego. Those who are favorable to us, they become friends, and those who are unfavorable to us, they become enemies. But when one becomes situated on the spiritual platform, then he sees everyone as a part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in that platform, there cannot be any question of enmity or friendship. Like then, he sees everyone as equal. He sees everyone as a part and parcel of his very, very dear Lord. And at that platform, sama sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhakti labhate param. At that platform only one can attain a devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when one becomes, this is how, when one becomes situated in the Brahma-Bhuta platform, when one becomes a real Brahmin, then only he is capable of being engaged in devotional service to the Lord, and then only he becomes a Vaishnava. Actually, the Vaishnava platform is transcendental even to the Brahmana platform. Transcending the Brahma-Bhuta platform, one comes to the Vaishnava platform. And when one becomes a Vaishnava, when one becomes engaged in the transcendental loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, then Krishna actually becomes manifest in his heart. Tomaro ridaye sada govinda vishram. So talking about a Vaishnava, it is said that Govinda, Krishna, always resides in your heart. Tomaro ridaye sada govinda vishram. Govinda is always residing in your heart. And Govinda kahaye mamo Vaishnava paran. And Govinda says that my life and soul is a Vaishnava. Vaishnavas are my heart and soul. Govinda kahaye mamo Vaishnava paran. So this way we can see that the devotees are very dear to the Lord. And the Lord is very dear to the devotees. Krishna is sentient. Krishna is conscious. Krishna is a supremely conscious being. Krishna is not inert. Krishna is not unconscious. Krishna is conscious. And when Krishna sees that someone is loving him, then Krishna reciprocates that love. We see that in our day-to-day dealings also, we cannot really resist love from others or affection or respect. This kind of favorable dealings affect us. We become affected by those favorable dealings. So, if we become affected, then we have to understand that Krishna becomes 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times more affected by that kind of exchange. When somebody loves Krishna, Krishna becomes very much affected by that love. And Krishna reciprocates.
So Krishna reciprocates so much that Krishna actually gives himself unto his devotees. And that's why in the nature of devotion, in the beginning it has been pointed out that Krishna bhakti, devotional service to Krishna, is very rare, sudurlabha. And Krishna does not usually want to give his devotion to others. Krishna doesn't want to give his devotion. Krishna wants to give bhukti, mukti and siddhi. Krishna offers, very easily offers material enjoyment, sense gratification. Krishna even offers liberation very easily. Mukti, siddhi. Krishna even offers yogic perfections very easily. But he does not want to give devotion. Because through devotion, Rupa Goswami is explaining, Krishna doesn't want to give devotion because when Krishna gives somebody devotion, then Krishna becomes bound by that devotion. Krishna becomes sold out by that devotion. So that's why Krishna is very, Krishna doesn't usually want to give devotion. But of course, when Krishna comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he distributes this devotion of the highest degree without any reservation. Aniya premero bonna bhashailo aboni. Bringing in this love, the flood of love, premero bonna, the flood of Krishna consciousness, bhashailo aboni, he inundated the whole universe. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Dino hino adhamo pamoro nahi bache. He does not make any discrimination whether one is poor, whether one is fallen, whether one is very, very degraded or elevated. Krishna did not care. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did not care about the candidates. But Brahmaro durlabho prem shabakare jache. He is begging everyone to receive this Krishna consciousness, which is even rare for Brahma. So this is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And although it is very, very difficult to become a devotee of the Lord, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this age of Kali, we have received it very, very easily. So, here, it has been pointed out that the Lord becomes very happy, very pleased, when he sees that someone is engaging himself in his devotional service. And Prithu Maharaj is pointing out that actually this process of devotional service, the process of loving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is actually shown by the Lord himself. The real purpose of religious practices is to develop a favorable relationship with the Lord. In the material platform, we all have forgotten Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the purpose of religion, or dharma, is to re-link our, or re-establish our lost relationship with the Lord. And the Lord himself helps us to establish that relationship. He teaches us and he establishes the principles of dharma or religiosity for the sake of living entities. Dharmam tu shakshad bhagavat pranitam. Dharma is actually the law given by the Lord. And when Krishna establishes that dharma, he expects that the living entities will follow in his footsteps and practice this dharma. He appeared in different incarnations, especially when he appeared as Lord Ramchandra, he established the very sublime principles of dharma. He himself taught how one must perform dharma. And sometimes he establishes that principles through his devotees, like the Pandavas headed by Yudhishthir Maharaj. Yudhishthir Maharaj was known as Dharmaraj, and the king of religiosity. And he was extremely strict as far as his religious principles are concerned. Same with Lord Ramchandra. Like Yudhishthir Maharaj never told a lie. He was famous for his truthfulness. Actually, Yudhishthir Maharaj was asked by Krishna to tell a lie, but Yudhishthir Maharaj refused. Actually, Dronacharya was fighting so valiantly that day that everyone saw that Dronacharya is going to annihilate the entire Pandav army. He was fighting like a blazing fire. And Krishna said the only way that Dronacharya could be stopped is if somebody says that his son, Ashwatthama, is dead. Because Dronacharya was very, very fond of his son, Ashwatthama. And Bhima actually went and told Dronacharya, Ashwatthama is dead. And Dronacharya responded by saying that, well, I don't believe you. Actually, Ashwatthama has a benediction that he will never die. And as a matter of fact, Ashwatthama is still alive. He is roaming around in the peaks of Himalayas as a madman. So, madman in the sense without any peace of mind. So, Dronacharya did not believe Bhima. He said that if Yudhishthir says that, I'll believe that. Then Krishna told Yudhishthir Maharaj, Yudhishthir, you tell. And Dronacharya is coming towards you, so you tell him that Ashwatthama is dead. But Yudhishthir Maharaj refused. Then Krishna said, Yudhishthir, you know, if you don't do that, then all your whole army will be finished today. You'll lose your brothers, you'll lose your army, you'll lose everything. Yudhishthir Maharaj said, let me lose everything, but still I'm not going to lie. Then Krishna, who is very cunning, another name of Krishna is Chotur, Choturo Shiromani. He's the crest jewel of all the cunning people. He's extremely cunning. So Krishna told Bhima, that Bhima, there is an elephant called Ashwatthama. So you go and kill that elephant. Then probably our truthful brother will tell the truth. So Bhima actually jumped over there and he immediately killed that elephant, Ashwatthama. Just he was so powerful that with one blow he could kill an elephant. So Bhima did that and it all happened in a very short time. Dronacharya was actually riding on his chariot. He was coming towards Yudhishthir. And it all happened in such a short span of time. And Bhima killed the elephant and then Krishna told Yudhishthir, Yudhishthir, now you tell him that Ashwatthama is dead. And Yudhishthir Maharaj said, Ashwatthama is dead, the elephant. But as soon as he finished saying Ashwatthama is dead, then Krishna blew his conch shell. And Dronacharya could not hear the iti gaja, or the elephant part of it. So he was so dejected, he was so heartbroken, that he immediately dropped his weapons. Because Dronacharya knew that Yudhishthira will never tell a lie. And so he thought that now his son is dead. So now that his son is dead, there was no meaning for his existence. And Dhrishtadyumna, and the brother of Draupadi, who actually appeared to kill Dronacharya. Dhrishtadyumna appeared from the sacrificial fire. Both Dhrishtadyumna and Draupadi appeared from a sacrificial fire performed by King Drupad. And the purpose of Dhrishtadyumna's appearance was to kill Dronacharya. So as soon as Dronacharya dropped his weapons, Dhrishtadyumna just beheaded him, chopped his head off. Actually, that is the reason why Ashwatthama became so revengeful, and he killed the sons of the Pandavas when they were asleep. Because Dronacharya, in a way, was killed inappropriate way. The laws of warfare was broken when Dronacharya was killed. Actually, the Battle of Kurukshetra was a very, very, very interesting battle, because in the Vedic time they used to follow the laws of warfare very strictly. They would not break the law of war. These laws were given by the scriptures. But in the Battle of Kurukshetra, practically all the laws were broken. And it has been pointed out that they were broken because Krishna wanted it. Krishna is the lawmaker, and Krishna can, if he wants, he can break the laws himself. So since the battle was fought, since it was a dharma yuddha, it was fought in front of Krishna, it was still, although the laws were broken, but still it was a dharma yuddha, the war of religiosity. And whoever died in the battle of Kurukshetra went back to heaven. Or even the opposing parties, enemies of Krishna, went back to heavenly planets. Only some big demons went back to Brahma Jyoti, like Shishupal and Dantavakra. Of course, Shishupal was not killed in the battle of Kurukshetra. Those who were killed in the battle of Kurukshetra, they all went back to heavenly planets. Duryodhana, actually, when Yudhishthira Maharaj went to heaven, he found that all the Kauravas, Duryodhana and others, were in heaven. And Yudhishthira Maharaj inquired where his brothers were, where the Pandavas were. And he was told that they were not in heaven, they were in hell. So Yudhishthira Maharaj said, well, then I don't want to stay in heaven. I would rather go to hell, where my brothers are. And so this is how a devotee feels. He simply wants to remain in the association of devotees. He doesn't care for heaven or hell. Wherever the devotees are, that is Vaikuntha for him. So because the Pandavas were in hell, Yudhishthira Maharaj opted for going to hell. And Pandavas actually went to hell because Krishna wanted them to purify the hell. So devotees sometimes, even according to Krishna's desire, they even have to go to hell sometimes. They don't mind, they don't care. Wherever they are blissful. Because Krishna is always there in his heart, in their hearts. So, and Krishna always makes arrangements for the devotees. Devotees may even go to hell, but they do not become affected by the hellish condition. Like this material nature is actually hellish. It's a hell. But when one becomes a devotee, then this hellish condition doesn't affect him at all.
So this is how Krishna always takes care of his devotees, because devotees are very dear to him, as he is very dear to his devotees. And devotee wants to become a devotee because he knows that that's the best way to please Krishna. As I was telling yesterday, like, we should try to become pure devotees, not for anything else, but simply to please Krishna. We do not want to become a pure devotee to go to Vaikuntha or to Vrindavan or to have a lot of enjoyment. No, we do not want to become a pure devotee for any of these reasons. We want to become a pure devotee because we know that that's the best way to please Krishna. So, the only objective that we have is to please Krishna, and besides that, we do not have any other objectives. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question? Yeah. That's the thing is, before we come to that transcendental platform, that phase of devotional service is called Vaidhi Bhakti, devotional service and practice. By practicing this process of devotional service, we get purified. And purification means freedom from material attachments. And then when you become fully detached from material attachments, then you become situated in the Brahmaputra platform. And in that platform, we render pure devotional service. Yes.
The question related to the verse from yesterday. It said in the purport that Krishna acquired his fame through the worship of the Brahmins and the Indian Vaishnavas. So, I can understand it.
As I was saying, that has been actually explained in this verse, that Krishna performs religious principles himself to teach others. Mahaprabhu also did that. Apuni achari prabhu jibere shikhai. Practicing himself, the Lord teaches others. So, in order to teach us that the best way to become purified or to become situated in a spiritual platform is by rendering service unto the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, by pleasing the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, that is by pleasing the devotees of the Lord, we can attain the platform of spiritual elevation. So he himself performed it and he showed it to us. The Krishna is Namo Brahmana Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. He is the Brahmana Deva, and his only concern is to do Hita, or his only concern is the welfare of the go, the cows, and the Brahmanas. So Brahmanas are very dear to Krishna. And Brahmana actually means a devotee. That is, the devotees are very dear to Krishna. Impersonalists are not. Those who are impersonalistic Brahmins, they are not dear to Krishna. Actually, these impersonalists are the enemies of Krishna. Although Krishna is no one's enemy, but they think that they become inimical to Krishna. So, that kind of Brahmins are simply causing disturbance to Krishna. And they are not dear to Krishna, but actually the devotee Brahmanas are dear to Krishna. And by rendering service unto them, we make spiritual advancement. Yes, Raman.
Maharaj, you see that many of these personalities who are sent to Brahmajyoti, like also do like to help the Dhritarashtra to go through.
Yeah.
But then they are supposed to fall down from Brahmajyoti, and then when they fall down, do they start up with the same?
Actually, from Brahmajyoti, we have two directions to go to. There are two directions that we can go to. From Brahmajyoti is actually the marginal platform.
And from the marginal region, we can either come to the material nature or we can go to the spiritual nature. Now those who still harbor some material desires, they fall into the material nature. But from Brahmajyoti, if someone gets the help of a devotee or if someone receives the benediction of a devotee, then he can go back to the... From Brahmajyoti he becomes elevated to the spiritual platform or Vaikuntha. So Dhritarashtra was actually very, very attached. He was extremely attached person. So for him to make spiritual advancement, the first step that Vidura considered would be beneficial for him was to be elevated to the Brahmajyoti or Brahmabhuta platform, you can say. Brahmabhuta platform means becoming free from all material attachments. And then a person like Vidura, who is a pure devotee of the Lord, if he helps, then one can be elevated to the pure devotional service platform.
Does that mean that we should not see Brahmajyoti as a specific place, or as a state of consciousness?
Yes, it's both. It's a specific region. Also, it's a state of consciousness. When we develop certain kind of consciousness, then we become elevated to that platform, the Brahmabhuta platform.
And also the pure devotees come also to the Brahmajyoti to help?
Yes, pure devotees may fly through Brahmajyoti. But devotees don't like to reach that region. Because that is the region where the Lord is not present in his personal form. So that's the time when devotee cannot see the Lord. Only he sees the Lord as flushes, as Paramatma. So from time to time. So at that region, devotees also become very afraid, very worried. Because that, if one cannot fix his mind on the lotus feet of the Lord, then he may forget him. Right? So devotee always tries to fix his mind on the lotus feet of the Lord. So if there is some risk, some condition when he cannot see the Lord or remember the Lord, then he becomes very, very worried. He gets into great anxiety. So, because in the material nature also the Lord is present in different forms, right? But when one goes beyond this material nature, comes to Brahmajyoti platform, that's the time when one doesn't see the Lord with his personal form. It is impersonal. But then when he reaches Vaikuntha, then the Lord is present there. Yes. Yeah. The first consideration is that Mahabharata is actually a history. Mahabharata is the history of India. And so Vasudeva actually gave the detailed narrations of what happened. And we can, from this we can see that those people were actually very powerful people, both physically and emotionally. So their emotions are very strong. Like we can see that the Kshatriyas, when they let out their emotions, I mean, they're like a eruption of a volcano, right? And also their dealings with, when they were emotionally involved with, you know, affection and other kinds of, like, that was also very intense. So that's why it has been just in a narration has been given, you know, about the history of India, what happened in India or the earth planet at that time. And the second consideration is that Mahabharata, Vasudev compiled for the Stri, Vaishya and Shudra, like for less intelligent class of people, those who are not intelligent enough to understand the philosophy, the Vedic philosophy, or the essence of the Vedic philosophy, or the conclusions of the Vedic philosophy. So he gradually tried to elevate it on the platform of morality. And so that's why it has been pointed out, Mahabharata is actually Karma Kanda. Mahabharata is not, Mahabharata is not Jnana Kanda or Upasana Kanda platform. Mahabharata is for the less intelligent class of people, common people, the mass, is meant for the mass, and is giving them the moral codes. And the mass is basically attached to the family and other sentimental relation attachments. And Mahabharata is actually giving them the understanding that at least how one should be morally responsible for his material life and perform it with a objective of, with a higher objective of religiosity. And in Mahabharata, he actually put in the Bhagavad Gita. Like, through this Karma Kanda practices, they will come to Bhagavad Gita and they will understand the supreme position of Krishna and become somehow attached to Krishna. And through the whole narration or through the whole episode, he pointed out ultimately that the ultimate goal of life is to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And when one does that, then one transcends the Karmakanda platform and comes to the devotional platform. Actually, the Vedas are very systematically arranged. Like, it's not unnaturally forcing people to come to the highest platform. It is actually gradually elevating people according to their inherent propensities to elevate gradually and come to the ultimate platform of pure devotional service. That's why we have the sections like Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, and then Upasana Kanda. Yeah, Mother Arada, she raised her hand first.
You said that devotee is not affected by the appearance of the house. However, how can one be affected by the feeling of the people such as the house is here and there? I mean, you know, my own
suffering. Right. But what about him? Yeah, when he sees others suffering, then he becomes compassionate. And out of his compassion for them, he preaches to them. Right? So this is how a devotee becomes affected. Yes, devotees do become affected. But he becomes affected and he preaches. Not he becomes affected and begins to feel uneasy or he gets into or get into anxiety and lament. That, why I rendered devotional service for 20 years, why did I have to come to hell? He never feels that way. Mother Jayabhadra?
Yes,
Do you remember what Krishna did for the living entities in hell for their salvation? So, when a devotee goes to hell and tells the suffering living entities to observe Ekadasi, and thus they become purified. Master Marcel? Yeah. On the purport to that verse, Jayanna Aravindaksha Vimukta Maninas Tajyasta Bhavad Avishuddha Buddhayo Arucha Krichena Parang Padam Tato Patanti Adha Anadrita Yushmadangrayo. That is, those who rejecting the lotus feet or disregarding the lotus feet of the Lord, Jayanne Aravindaksha Vimukta Maninas. Rejecting the lotus feet of the Lord, those who desired to become liberated, attain mukti, and due to their impure consciousness, if even they become elevated to the supreme position by rendering different types of austerities and penances. Arujya Krichena. Kritcha means austerities and penances, and Arujya means elevated. By means of austerities and penances, they become elevated to Parampada, the supreme position. That is, they attain the transcendental platform. That is Brahma Jyoti. But Patanti Adha, they fall down. Anadrita Yushmadam Raya. Because they have disregarded the lotus feet of the Lord. Unless and until one develops respect for the lotus feet of the Lord, one cannot stay in the spiritual sky. He falls down. Now, on this purport, I think it was Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur or Sridhar Swami, either of one of them, said that they actually become stones when they fall down. You see, Brahma Jyoti is a platform where when they fall from there, they lose their consciousness completely. They become completely unconscious. And they become like a stone. And at the most, they become precious stones like diamonds or sapphires. And they give out a little light and think, "Aham Brahmasmi." Yeah, Jagopal Prabhu.
And it's like in today's verse, some of the purpose found over stress that the most, the only way actually to make spiritual advancement was to be Vaishnavas. Now, which Vaishnavas is found in him? And what particular things could we do to please the Vaishnavas? So that's like the most effective way to make spiritual advancement, you should always.
Yeah. Be informed by it. Right. I mean, my understanding is that the purest Vaishnava that we have seen is Srila Prabhupada. And his desire has manifested in the form of ISKCON. And if we just favorably render service unto Prabhupada's ISKCON, which is Prabhupada's body, then that is the best way to serve a Vaishnava. Serving Prabhupada means, you know, serving, or rather serving ISKCON means actually serving Prabhupada. Because ISKCON is the manifestation of Prabhupada's desire. And I think that's the best way to render, best way to make advancement. And while doing that, while serving ISKCON, ISKCON again is not an impersonal concept. ISKCON is an assembly of devotees, a society of devotees. So that means rendering service unto the devotees of ISKCON is the best way to make advancement.
Like, I personally don't think that we have to go out. Like, in India, there is a problem like that. Like, there's so many so-called elevated Vaishnavas around, those who apparently appear to be more elevated than the ISKCON devotees. And people become tempted to, you know, serve them to make advancement. They think that by serving these Vaishnavas, they're going to make rapid advancement. But in order to, while trying to do that, they reject the best Vaishnava of this time, Srila Prabhupada. So I think we don't have to go out anywhere to serve the Vaishnavas. I mean, we can simply serve Prabhupada by serving the devotees in ISKCON. And those who are doing that, they are making advancement. Like this year we were, when we were discussing about the guru issue, one point we brought up, is that if the spiritual life is solely dependent, if the spiritual life of a disciple is solely dependent on the guru, then how come, in spite of the guru's fall down, the disciples are making advancement? Those who are still in ISKCON, they, although their gurus may have fallen down, but they are making advancement. How? And that shows that actually our main link with Krishna is through ISKCON. So if one remains favorably situated in ISKCON, he will make advancement. That, yeah. Yes, Mother Jayabhadra.
I read in some teacher that all the time the Lord has 10 spirits going 10 different directions.
What was that?
The trident. 10 tridents.
Yeah.
And that the person was becoming pale on his
plane. Right.
I just
heard 8 around and top and bottom, right? Higher and lower. These 10 directions. And all these 10 directions are guarded by Lord Shiva. Vaikuntha is actually the door of Vaikuntha is guarded by Lord Shiva. And when Lord Shiva sees some unqualified person trying to get crash, then he hurls his trident. And that's actually what, yeah, this is another interesting point about this Arujya Krichena Param Padam Tato Shloka verse. That why does how come a living entity falls down from Brahma Jyoti? It said that when one tries to attain the position of Krishna, Parampada means actually the position of Krishna. So this Mayavad is actually want to take over Krishna's throne or Krishna's position, take over the position of Krishna. And when they try to do that, then Lord Shiva hurls his trident, and being hit by the trident, they lose their consciousness and they fall down. So that is how Lord Shiva's tridents are actually guarding Vaikuntha. Yes, Mother Ada. Descendants. That means the followers. No, not hereditary descendants or, yeah. Okay, all glories to Shiva. Oh, yeah.
When the warriors of the battle of Kurukshetra, they said they go back to heaven. But what happens when they are in the heavenly palace, do they go back to the spiritual world afterwards?
Actually, it is not possible to go to the spiritual world, spiritual sky, from heaven. The denizens of heaven can go back to the spiritual sky only by two ways. One is at the time of annihilation, when the creation is dissolved. Then, if they are favorably situated in Krishna consciousness, they can go back to the spiritual sky. And the other way to go back to the spiritual sky for the denizens of heaven is that they have to take birth in the earth planet, on the earth planet, and render devotional service. And thus, becoming a pure devotee, they can go back to the spiritual sky. And Krishna actually makes arrangements. When Krishna comes, he makes arrangements to take all the qualified people back home. And that's why we see, when just before Krishna came, when the demigods approached Krishna headed by Brahma to save them from the demoniac influence on the earth planet, then Krishna actually assured them that he would be coming soon. And he instructed the demigods to take birth in the Yadu and Vrishni dynasty. So the demigods actually were born in the Yadu and Vrishni dynasty. They got a chance to participate in Krishna's pastimes and thus go back to Godhead. Also, when Ramchandra came, the demigods also appeared. And all the monkeys are actually demigods. The monkey associates of Lord Ramchandra are actually demigods, but they got a chance to become Lord Ramchandra's associates, and thus they become qualified to go back to Godhead. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Okay, later on, Ramananda. Hare Krishna.